I want to invite you to turn to Philippians. We're going to be looking in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. As I mentioned last week, the Bible is incredibly practical. That's so exciting to open God's Word, His letter to us, and to be able to use it in our everyday life. And today's lesson is no exception. I've titled the lesson, How to Have Humility. Now, I know there's a few of you in here that really don't need that. A lot of you are really humble. But I know I need it. I need it worse than anybody. Oh, it's a joke. I know. Humility is just against our nature, isn't it? That's what our Lord calls us to do. So turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. We'll read the passage and then we'll jump into our lesson. Paul writes, Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. I read this example. I love it. I have to share it with you. There was a former baseball great named Ralph Kinner. He actually played for three major league clubs, the Indians, the Cubs, and the Pirates from 1946 to 1955. So most of us probably have not heard of him. He was a baseball Hall of Famer inducted in 1975, and he was also an announcer for the New York Mets for many years. But he tells the following story. He says, After the season in which I hit 37 home runs, I asked the Pittsburgh Pirate general manager for a raise. And he refused. He said, But I led the league in home runs. And the manager said, But where did we finish? And I said, Well, we finished in last place. And he replied, Well, we can finish last without you. Kinner was like most of us, wasn't he? We think of ourselves first. Me, myself, and I. It is in the fiber of our being, unfortunately. We want to look at ourselves first without thinking of others. Pride shows up everywhere in all sorts of different shapes and sizes. And because of pride, Paul drives right home that very fact that if you want to have the best relationships, if you want to have a life that is not full of factions and divisions and anger and separations and misunderstandings, then you got to be humble. You got to die to yourself. You got to quit thinking of yourself first and you got to think of others. We talked on it last week. Paul gave wise words to us last week and we looked at the basics on what it meant to produce a good relationship. And it starts with an attitude. It starts with a mindset. And our passage this morning is going to show us what it looks like and what it is. It starts with an attitude. It starts with an attitude. And your attitude and your mindset is going then to produce a behavior. And that attitude is found in our Savior. And He left us the example. He's who we look to. So our first point, we divided into 3 points, is that number one, you have it on your outline, Christ displayed the proper attitude. And number two, Christ yielded His rights in verse 6. And lastly, Christ gave all He had. That's how to be humble. Well, Paul is saying in verse 5 that in order to get along and have the great relationships, you need to begin with the proper attitude. You need to start with the right mindset, as we said. Now, emotions are tough. Feelings are tough. They tug us in all different directions. And Paul is saying from the very beginning, he is commanding that you and I must have the right outlook, the proper attitude, and the right mindset in spite of how we feel, in spite of how people treat us. We got to fight with all our being to have this kind of attitude every moment, every situation, in every circumstance. And what kind of attitude is He asking us to have? It's an attitude of humility. It's looking out for the other person's personal interest before your own. It's denying yourself. Andrew Murray put it this way. He said, humility is perfect quietness of heart. It is for me to have no trouble, never to be fretted or vexed or irritated or disappointed or sore. It's to expect nothing, to wonder at nothing that is done to me, and to feel nothing done to me is against me or will hurt me. It is to be at rest when nobody praises me, when I am blamed or I'm despised. It is to have a blessed home in the Lord where I can go in and shut the door and kneel to my Father in secret and be at peace as in a deep sea of calmness when all around is trouble. That's humility. It is the fruit of the Lord Jesus' redemptive work on the cross, and it's manifested in all those who own Him and are under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It's humility. It's denying all your rights. So when we get up in the morning and we face the day, and when we lay our head on our pillows at night and everything in between, Paul is saying we must live with a humble outlook and a humble attitude and a mindset. Denying ourselves. And it was modeled perfectly in our Savior Jesus Christ. One author, he puts it this way. You must remember, my brethren, you must remember that if you're a Christian, through your union with Christ in living redemptive experience, this principle and passion by which He was moved, humility, must become the principle and passion by which you live. Denying yourself. If Christ did it and He saved you, then you need to do it. Then I need to do it. We need to live that way. And so the question is, what is your attitude when you work to be recognized and you're overlooked? How do you respond when you're left out and the group goes this way and they leave you and you're not invited? How do you react when a friend is mean to you? What is your feeling when someone won't return your call or ignores your email or your text? What is your outlook when you're not invited to go where everybody else is going? We've all experienced those feelings. Or even tougher, what's your attitude when you're falsely accused? You did not do it. Maybe even someone in your own family takes advantage of you, someone that's supposed to love you, and they falsely accuse you for their own advantage. Paul is impressing on us this morning. He's saying to produce, to possess, and to promote the attitude of humility in your life because it was in Christ Jesus. So the question for us this morning, here's the first question. Will you make it your aim and your goal and your passion to be controlled with this kind of attitude? That your whole mindset is one of humility and of denial and selflessness. And listen, if you will set your mind to do that and pray for that and aim for that, then you will reap benefits in your life that you'll never imagine you could have. It's a mindset that's contrary to the whole world, but Paul is saying that if you want to have humility, you got to have the same mindset and the same attitude of your Savior that was in Christ Jesus. That's our first point. I want to do that. Do you? How many of you want to do that? How many of you want to have that? I do. But the question is how, right? Well, Paul starts to lay it out. And what Paul does is amazing. He lays out and he starts with doctrine and theology. And people say, well, I don't want to hear doctrine. I don't want to hear theology. But the reality is, Paul goes down in the next few verses and explains an incredible amount of doctrine. And we need to understand the doctrine and theology so that we can apply it to our lives. It is incredibly practical. And so look at verse 6. We come to our next point. Christ yielded his rights. Look what Paul wrote. Who, although he existed in the form of God. What does that mean? It means that he had a previous state before coming to earth. It's a theological term called pre-incarnation. Prior to having this form of a human body, he existed. He lived in eternal glory in heaven. He was one with the Father. He has always been. He was never created, and he will always be. There was never a beginning with Christ. He has always existed. And he will continue to exist forever. That's hard for finite beings to understand. There was never a time that Christ did not exist. Remember how he referred to himself? He said, I came. He wasn't born, he came. So he existed in the form of God. And his existence was in the divine form, the nature of God. He was equal with God. Before taking on a human body, he was a spirit without physical form or structure and was fully divine in substance and in power. And he possessed all of God's essential nature and characteristics and qualities. That's who he was. And then it goes on, verse 6, and he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. What does that mean? So he preexisted. And he didn't regard equality with God thing to be grasped. To paraphrase, it means that Christ set aside his rights. He yielded his rights when he took on human form. In other words, he set aside his powers that he could have used. Well, he didn't cease being God. He just refused to exercise divine rights in order to fulfill his mission on earth. He could have shook the earth, appeared in the sky, caused thunder and earthquakes and everything to make people understand who he was. But he didn't do that. He had the power to do whatever he wanted. But he yielded, you see, to that power in order to accomplish the purposes of God. In fact, do you remember the end of his life? He was headed to the cross and the mobs gathered in and they were seeking to capture him and crucify him. And Peter draws his sword out. You remember that. He takes his sword and he swings at the servant of the high priest, obviously trying to split his head in two, and he misses and he cuts his ear off. And Jesus rebukes him. And he says this in Matthew 26, do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send more than 12 legions of angels? A legion was a military term. It meant approximately 6,000 angels. And so Jesus was saying, Peter, if I wanted to, I could call over 70,000 angels to come protect me right now. I don't need you or anybody to defend me. I am yielding my rights for a greater purpose. It's amazing, isn't it? Matthew 4, Jesus had fasted over 40 days. Can you imagine not eating anything for 40 days? Satan comes to tempt him. He refuses to turn the stones into bread. Could have done that. He refused to yield to Satan's temptation. He had the power. He set those powers aside. And yet when he needed to, he could multiply the fish and the loaves to feed 5,000. What an incredible example of yielding your rights. You think you have rights? You think you have desires? They're nothing compared to what our Lord had, and yet he set those aside. Here's the point. Jesus had more ability and privilege to protect and defend himself than anybody that ever walked the face of this earth, and yet he set them aside. He yielded his divine powers that were rightfully his. And Paul is saying that is our example. He did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped as he walked the face of this earth. You want to know what humility is? It's yielding your rights. You need an illustration of what it means to yield your rights? Then look to Christ. Try to understand how much He gave up. Try to understand how much He set aside and how much He yielded. There was a country road. A man came to a very narrow bridge, and in front of the bridge there was a sign posted, "Yield." Seeing no oncoming cars, he continued across the bridge to his destination. And on his way back, the same bridge, the same one-lane bridge, to his surprise, there was another yield sign on that side of the bridge. And when he reached the other side, he looked back, and sure enough, yield signs were on both sides, as he had remembered. Drivers from both directions were asked to yield and give up the right-of-way. It was a responsible and gracious way of preventing head-on collisions. And Paul is saying that if you want to have great relationships, look to Christ and yield your rights. Set them aside. I think of examples of that. Are you willing to give up something that is extremely important to you in order to help someone else? A lot of examples. I think of a person receiving a call in the middle of the night. Maybe someone's in need. You got a very busy day planned in the morning. You got an early morning meeting with your boss. It may lead to a promotion. You got to be sharp. You got to be early. You got to be well rested. And this call comes at 3 a.m. in the morning from a friend, and they say, "I'm sick. I need help. Will you take me to the emergency room?" Oh, you're exhausted. You willing to get up and go sit in the emergency room with your friend all night? Yielding your rights. Take care of them. Maybe you have a planned vacation. You've been working on it all year long, and a friend has someone in their family pass away, and they come to you and they say, "Will you stay with me and comfort me and counsel me and be with me?" And you have to cancel a vacation that you've been planning for a year. Or let's say you really enjoy a ministry that you have at church, and someone new comes in and they start helping, and leadership decides that they want that person to take over and move you somewhere else. Would you be willing to gracefully accept that and yield your rights? You see, the question is, will you humbly accept the circumstances when someone maybe makes you late, or someone takes credit for what you've done, or someone's promoted ahead of you? Maybe it's as small as letting someone have their way instead of arguing with them when you know you're right. You've got the facts. Listen, you just can't believe what you see in the church. People in church will argue and divide over the color of the carpet, the sound system in the auditorium, or the stain on the cabinets. They will fight. It's amazing. D.L. Moody said this, "Be humble or you'll stumble." I love that. And our Lord is the perfect example of yielding His rights. He is a supreme example. That's humility. So our first two points, that's them. If you want to have a great relationship, you got to have the right mindset and the right attitude, and that's seen in Christ. And then you got to be willing to yield your rights. We have an example in Christ. And lastly, Christ went further by giving all He had. Look at that. Verse 7, He emptied Himself. Well, that's similar to yielding His rights. It doesn't mean He ceased to be God. God can't change. He's immutable. He is God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The New International Version says, He made Himself nothing. He limited, again, the use of His power while He was walking around on earth. He was fully man and fully God. I love this. In John 17:5, Jesus is praying a high priestly prayer. I don't know if you've ever picked this up. Listen to this. In verse 4, He says this. Starting in verse 4, 17, He says, "I glorified You, Father, on the earth, having accomplished the work which You have given Me to do." And this is what He says in verse 5. "Now, Father, glorify Me together with Yourself listen to this, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. In other words, Christ veiled His glory to come to earth. That's what it means to empty Himself. It's amazing. I can't even comprehend that. Next, you want to know what it means to give all He had? He emptied Himself. Look what He said. He took the form of a bondservant. He could have come to earth. It would have been enough just to kind of walk around in human flesh. But He came as a slave to serve the lowest form. He didn't pretend to serve. He actually served. Read through the New Testament. What is Christ doing all the time? He's serving and giving. He came to be the lowest of the lowest. A bond slave is someone who chooses to serve their master forever. Jesus chose to set aside His glory, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, to serve and carry your burden and my burden. What does it look like? He didn't have a home. He didn't have a donkey. He didn't have jewelry. He didn't have gold. He didn't own property. He didn't even own the clothes on His back. Matthew 20:28, you've heard it. Our Lord and Creator did not come to be served, but to what? To serve and be a ransom for many. Not only that, He was made in the likeness of men. That doesn't seem so bad to us. I mean, that's what we are, right? But God, the Creator, made Himself what He created. He became an infant, a baby, dependent on someone to feed Him and clean Him and change His diaper. He was hungry. He got tired. He needed to sleep. He had headaches, backaches, toothaches. And everything we experience, the Creator of the universe took that on. In essence, He took on all the consequences and issues from the fall in the garden. He lived and acted as a man and took His place among the most common people. Yet He didn't sin. Next, look what Paul says. He humbled Himself. I would say so. He not only took on human nature, but He took on this attitude of humility. When He was arrested, He was spit on. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was scourged. People pulled hair out of His beard. And He never once asserted His rights as God. It's beyond us, isn't it? It would have been enough for God to do just to become a human being. And to humble Himself and to be in the likeness of men and to serve. That would have been enough. But look what else. He went all the way. The ultimate sacrifice. He became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. It is beyond my ability, and I'm sure it would be thank everybody's ability, to grasp how low God went. His death was not a dignified death. It was the lowest form of death possible. Dying on a cross was so horrific and so horrendous that if you were a Roman citizen, you were exempt from it. It was for the worst of criminals. He died the worst kind of death possible. Why? Why? All for the satisfaction and payment of the evil of sin. You want to know how bad sin is? You want to know how serious sin is in God's eyes? You want to know what God thinks about sin? Then try and measure and understand what God did to save us from it. And you see, the punishment is always proportionate to the crime. Someone goes and steals a pack of gum. They spend one day in prison or get out on probation, no big deal. You murder somebody, you face a death penalty, or you spend your life in prison. Look at the depth and the length that God went to pay for sin. That's how serious it is. Christ gave all He had. God gave all He had. And the irony is, God gave all He had to save us from His punishment. We are saved from God. And Paul is saying that if Christ gave all He had, wouldn't you seek to give all you can? He is our example. If He emptied Himself, then can you? Can you back off of your wants and desires and put others before yourself? Are you willing to try and give your life as one that serves others? Are you eager to humble yourself and give until it cost you, till it really cost you? Even your life. For the sake of your friends and your family and others. Paul is telling us this morning that you and I are to seek to have this kind of attitude, this kind of mindset, this kind of behavior that our Savior had. To be willing to yield our rights like Christ and even go further and give everything we have for others. Philip Brooks commented, and he put it this way, the true way to be humble. You see, the true way to be humble is not to stoop until you're smaller than yourself, but to really stand at your real height against some higher nature that will show you what the real smallness of your greatness is. In other words, what he's saying is, don't measure your humility next to the person that you're sitting next to or watching and say, well, I do more than him or I do more than her. That's not how we measure humility. No, we are to stand next to Christ, looking at Him and measuring our humility to what His humility was. Compare yourself to Him. Look at His work. Look at His attitude. Then you'll see how humble you are. Let me close with this illustration. Hudson Taylor was scheduled to speak at a large church in Australia years ago. And the moderator of the service introduced the missionary in eloquent and glowing terms, and he told the congregation all that Taylor had accomplished in China. And then he presented him as our illustrious guest. And they clapped. And Taylor took the podium and he stood quietly, and then he opened his message by saying, "Dear friends, I am nothing more than the little servant of an illustrious master." That's great, isn't it? Our Lord wants us to have humility. It's hard, really hard. That's the goal. That's the direction we're to take. That's our target. Christ had the proper attitude, and that's what we want. And He yielded His rights. Gosh, it's hard to yield your rights. That's what you're to do. That's what Christ wants you to do. And then He gave all He had. You know what? If you want to have the blessed life, you want to have a fruitful life, you want to have a life that lasts forever, even after you're gone, the fruits of your life, you want to make a difference in the world, it's not going to be how much money you make. It's not going to be how many runs you score. It's not going to be how many degrees you get. It's going to be how you served others for Christ. That's what we need to do, and that's the challenge. And what a great word for us. And I say this to you today. Sin is serious. When you see what God did to save us from it, can you imagine what it's like to be burning in hell? Can you imagine how serious it is for those who neglect Christ? They ignore Him for the things of this world. When the enormous, magnificent price was paid by Christ so that we would not have to face those consequences. If you don't know Christ, you need to flee to the cross, die to yourself, accept His payment and serve Him. And if we do know Christ, let's make a commitment today to work to be men and women who are humble, who serve others. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Christ. We thank you that we have eternal truth and eternal relationship with you because of what you've done for us. Father, it's really beyond us. Our finite minds, our pea brain minds can't even begin to fathom what you've done for us. But Father, the little bit that we do know, we thank you with all our heart. And Father, we want to change, we want to be different, and we can only do that through the Holy Spirit working in us. Keep us in your word, keep us close to you, keep us walking with you, and Father, help us to be men and women that love others more than ourselves. In Christ's name, amen.